Hi. My name is Jessica, and I'm a believer in Christ who struggles with pride, people-pleasing, and control. Hi. I'm going to pray real fast. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the work that you have done in my life and giving me the opportunity to share your story that has manifested itself in my life. And I just pray that you will calm my anxieties and just give me your words. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay. So my name is Jessica, and I'm a believer in Christ who struggles with pride, people-pleasing, and control. I need to begin by saying that I am, that I had an unbelievably blessed childhood. I say this knowing that this is not the case for everyone, and that I also know that we have to wait until one day we can see our purpose behind things before we can understand things here on this earth. When I think back to my childhood, I cannot imagine feeling more loved, especially considering the pain that my family went through. God's story in my life, as with all our lives, begins before I was born. My parents were high school sweethearts who lived in Florida. In the summer of 1981, when my mother was 23 and 4 months pregnant with me, my father was electrocuted at work and killed. To be honest, I don't know a lot of details about the event because until recently I have been too afraid to talk to my family about it. I never wanted to be the person that brought up such a heartbreaking subject that might make me that might make them upset, hence people leaving. For the first 5 years of my life, it was just me and my mom, until my mom reconnected with her friend from college and they were married soon after. Ever since this day, this man has been my father, and I've never viewed him as anything but that. My mom and I constantly remind him that he got a two-for-one special. A few years later, my baby brother was born. My biological father's family accepted my dad and my brother with open arms. They love them because we love them. Growing up, we would even take family vacations to Florida to see them. For me, this meant growing up with three wonderful families. However, it was and still is confusing and difficult for me to talk about the pain behind how all this happened. It always seemed like such a great deal for me, but it happened at the cost of a lot of pain and suffering to the people that I loved the most. I felt guilty for being happy. I couldn't imagine losing a husband or my brother or anyone that I was close to so tragically, yet that is what the people that I love the most in the world had to go through. I didn't know how to process it, so instead of processing it, I suppressed it. I grew up believing in God. I went to Catholic school, church camp, Sunday school, etc., but church was always more social for me. It was just what nice families did. I lived my childhood trying to be the good kid, yet I did not understand the concept of having a personal relationship with God. In turn, this affected the way I interacted with people. I always thought it was best to keep everything inside and not to let people know when I was angry or hurting. I was always the happy, fun, silly, good girl, and I was afraid of letting anyone see me as anything but that. Instead of talking about how I felt, my solution was to rebel and then deny, deny, deny. It was a vicious cycle for me, messing up, denying it, hiding from it, and then spending an absurd amount of energy trying to do so many great things that people would not remember my mess up. As I got older, my need for people pleasing got stronger. I would have no problem handing out advice, but anytime it came to talking about my feelings, I would shut down or literally leave the situation. I still felt alone, and I couldn't figure out why, since I was surrounded by so many people that loved me. In college, I started to realize that I had an issue with commitment and control. I was not living my life under the direction of God's will. I began drinking more and more, to a point where it seemed normal for me. But I balanced this party lifestyle with my usual overachieving activities. Throughout these years and carrying over into my young adult life in Dallas, my need for acceptance began including men. But my emotional walls had grown unbearably high and seemed overwhelming. I began substituting physical relationships for emotional ones because it was something that I felt like I could control. These relationships were easier to handle, and it was easier to pretend that they didn't matter. It was easy for me to categorize physical relationships as physical and nothing more. If emotions were involved, then I was admitting that things were affecting me. I thought at the time that I was protecting my heart. I was making my own rules and then trying to protect myself from the consequences. If I only let people a little bit in, then I was only leaving myself vulnerable to be a little bit hurt. Or if I got involved with the bad boy, then getting hurt was expected, so I wasn't surprised when it happened. I felt like I was fooling the system. I started becoming emotionless, or should I probably say I was pretending to be emotionless, like I was strong and independent and self-sufficient. When I did let myself feel, I was unable to control my emotions, so it seemed much healthier just to bottle them up, although it would cause random emotional explosions later. In early 2006, after several years of this pattern, I got involved in a destructive relationship. It was a relationship merely formed from convenience, and I hid it from most of my family and friends. It became a secret and shameful part of my life, but I couldn't get out. We dated on and off for 2 years, and it was always the same cycle. I would get my hopes up about where our relationship was going without really ever expressing my thoughts or feelings to him, of course, because that would be too embarrassing. Then I would be crushed when my expectations were not met. I broke it off time and time again, but I couldn't break free. All this time, I was keeping it a secret, and not really realizing the emotional pit that I was digging myself into. What I realize now is that until I prioritize my relationship with God, I would be unsatisfied with any other relationship in my life. In the winter of 2007, I hit my rock bottom. I was physically and emotionally exhausted from living my double life. I was spending most of my time at work and openly chasing things that our secular world told me were important. This led me into a bout of depression. As I was able to hide this depression from most people in my life by maintaining my upbeat and perky attitude on the outside while I was wilting away on the inside, not wanting anyone to see this weak side of me. I spiraled out of control through a series of events that included another season of binge drinking and inappropriate relationships. It was then that I started looking for ways out. Going back to church was familiar to me. A friend and her husband introduced me to Watermark, and I immediately felt at home. I joined almost instantly, but even when I started coming to Watermark, I was really still just playing church. The more I got involved, the better I felt about myself. I was not serving in humility or out of my love for the Lord. It was still about me. James 3:13-14 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." Instead of serving out of a pure heart, I was thinking about how I looked on the outside and never really addressing what was really going on. I spent a lot more time worrying about what other people thought about me than I did meditating on the truth of what Christ thinks of me. At the end of 2008, I began coming to CR. It was a very scary process for me. Celebrate Recovery, or my perception of it at the time, was absolutely everything I had always wanted to run from. I didn't want to even admit that I had hurts, habits, or hang-ups, or that I couldn't problem solve my way out of my emotions. But through working the steps, I really began to feel my heart change. I'm not sure that I would say I enjoyed the process, but it was through dealing with my past that I really started understanding what a relationship with Christ was and why I needed it so desperately. He was able to give me the love and acceptance that I had been searching for in other people. I want to be able to tie my CR experience up with a nice little bow and I wanted to be able to tie my CR experience up with a nice little bow and expected to be fixed. I honestly thought and expected that this would happen. I wanted to proclaim victory. I was beginning to see myself in the way the Bible says Christ sees me, and not really worrying about how others viewed me. I was consistent with my quiet time because I wanted to spend time with the Lord, and I finally felt like my heart was involved with God, with the church, and with others for the right reasons. My faith was growing, and I was on fire for the Lord. But we are warned in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." If I haven't said this yet, I have a long history of learning lessons the hard way. Shortly after I finished my inventory process while out celebrating the birthday of a friend, I randomly ran into the guy that epitomized my destructive past, the guy that I had spent so much time trying to break free from. We exchanged a few quick words and then moved on. End of story, I thought. Except a wave of insecurity flooded over me. Suddenly, the person that I used to be came crashing back to me, again believing that my heart wasn't changed at all and that I was the same person that I'd always been. And for that night, I returned to my former ways, drinking excessively and even engaging in inappropriate relationship. I never thought that the word relapse would really apply to me because I didn't have what I would have considered a dependence problem. But I realize now that a relapse occurs when we fall into sin. It is living out Romans 1 when we turn away from God and rely on ourselves. And this particular sin in my life was people-pleasing, wanting people to accept, love, and acknowledge me. I tried to keep it bottled inside and ignore that it ever happened, which is exactly what I did in the past. Don't acknowledge it and it will disappear. I was ready to quit, ready to give up and go back to my old ways because clearly I wasn't cut out for this Christian lifestyle. I couldn't even hold it together through my recovery. I thought of every reason in the world why I should hide this sin from my community group, my sponsor, and my accountability partners. They would really never have to know. I successfully hid my sin for several weeks, but I remembered the verse from James 5:16 that I had recently meditated on through the inventory process that says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." So, like a huge nerd, and with the need to control everything that came out of my mouth, I headed to my community group with an index card of exactly what I was going to say. And to make matters even more awkward, this was the first night for a new girl in our community group. Welcome. I shared my whole story about the relapse and how I was so disappointed in myself and how I couldn't understand how I could have gone through the last years of my life not changing at all. I shared about how easy it was for me to be the old me and how I wished that I was magically different. But God showed me through the confession to my sweet friends and that my heart was changed through the way that I handled the sin that was so comfortable for me. God showed up for me in this process. He showed up in how the people in my life loved me in my darkest confession. He showed up in the words that they spoke to me, reminding me that God was changing my heart in the fact that I confessed in godly sorrow and sincere repentance. God also showed up for me in the confession of the newest member of our group. She shared that this is exactly the kind of group that she was looking for, one that shared openly and accepted each other right where they were. It was truly confession and forgiveness. I felt no condemnation, just as it says in Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What my pride tells me should have been one of my most embarrassing and shameful moments, God has used as a turning point in my life. It is now the moment that I go back to when I struggle to feel his forgiveness, when I struggle with glorifying my sins and not accepting the perfect gift that God gave me in sending his son to die for me while I was still a sinner. Probably the most predominant way that CR has strengthened my relationship with Christ is being able to name my sins. I never really wanted to admit that I struggled with pride, people pleasing, or control. I found it embarrassing. That should have been my first clue. I struggled so badly when writing this because I wanted to control what you thought of me, making sure that you knew that God had worked in my life, but not really wanting to share any specifics. And until CR, I didn't realize that this was pride or control. I thought it was smart, but not letting myself be vulnerable isn't being smart. It's placing what others think about me above what Christ thinks about me. Holding on to this sin and not letting go, not accepting God's grace for my sinful nature is really just glorifying my own sin. It's saying that God sending his only son to die for me for my sins was a nice gesture, but it wasn't quite enough to really right the wrongs in my life. That realization totally changed my perspective. I'm so thankful that God never gave up on me. He pursued me even when I left him in the dust time and time again. But it wasn't until after this process that I really understood what it means when God tells us that he works everything out for his good purpose. God allowed me to suffer through a relapse so that I might be able to tell how I persevered and grew stronger in my faith thanks to his grace. He allowed my family's tragic hurt in order to bring them into a relationship with him. I am constantly reminding myself of Romans 5:3-4 that says, "We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." If this is your first time coming to CR, I want to encourage you to trust the process. God moves and changes lives in this ministry. Before CR, and even through the majority of the CR process, I heard people talking about how they were set free from the bondage of their sin and how your hurts, habits, and hang-ups create barriers between you and Christ. I heard it over and over again about how free you will feel once you confess and make your amends. But to be honest, I could not imagine how dredging up my past, sharing my sins, and shedding light on the darkest parts of me could do anything that even looked like setting me free. It only felt humiliating, and I didn't want to do it. But I knew that God called me to confess, so I obeyed. And all I can say is that it's true. My heart has a peace and a freedom that I did not know was possible. So hang in there. I know that it's tough, and it will probably get tougher. But God does protect your heart, and he never tells us that it will be easy, but he promises it will be worth it, and it is.